Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Kay. Hi, Rob.
Who's on?
This is Kay.
Hey, Kay. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
So what's going on?
Well, you know, we had that hurricane sort of come at us last week, and then it decided to turn at the very last minute, which was very lucky for us. But it was a disruption to our operations for several days. Hello, Taryn.
Hey.
Taryn, hi.
Hi. Trent is still on the other line, but I think he should be off pretty shortly.
Okay. I was just telling Rob about last week. We had a very shortened week due to the hurricane.
Yeah.
I think our office was closed every, except for Thursday. Technically, Thursday and Friday of last week were the only days that our office was open.
Sorry, it's so late.
It's okay.
Hello.
So who is that, Trent?
That's Stephen.
That was Stephen.
Hey, Stephen. Welcome.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Good.
We've got Sheila here too. I have you on speakerphone. She's with me.
Okay, hi. Do you want to wait another minute or do you want to get started?
He's calling in right now.
Okay. There you go. Trent?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. If I hear myself in speakerphone in the background, please don't do that.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to let Sheila listen and also be able to answer the phone.
Oh. How's it going, Rob?
Good. Getting
You in Nashville? Where are you?
Getting settled in Nashville, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys skirted the hurricane. That's a good thing.
Yes. We have this guy on the Weather Channel, Jim Cantore, who's famous worldwide, who we can't stand, any of us. So, because no matter what's happening, he's going to tell you you're going to die tomorrow. So it's kind of like... kind of like one of those perpetual bulls in the market, right? So.
Right. He loves hurricanes.
Oh,
loves bad weather.
If it wobbles, you're gonna die. You know, it's like one little wobble and Vero Beach is gone.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, a good analogy for most of the people that are have great fear about stock markets.
That's right. So, you know, we lost some time last week, but we're trying to catch up for it this week. Try to fit a whole week in 2 days.
So, what's on your mind? What happened?
You know, we're just trying to stabilize from, you know, one of the partners leaving and regrouping and setting roles, and we're on the way to do that. And then, you know, the question is, how many relationship managers do we want? How much, you know, should we be hiring a CFA? So we're going through sort of a little bit of growing pains. But I think we're almost back to doing business as normal again, which is kind of a good feeling. You know, we have two people on the phone that have not gone through the Supernova process.
Okay.
And I guess the question I have, so let's say I go through Supernova and let's say I'm like, you know, I want to do, you know, 3 million, but really the people I'm dealing with is 2.2 million. I mean, that's kind of a big jump to go down and say, all right, I'm just going to deal with these people that are doing 2.2 million and hand off the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a lot of faith to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then, you know, the handoff's got to be, you know, we've talked about the handoff before. But I only want to deal with 60 people. That's a tough call because I'm nowhere near my number right now. So how do you how do you respond to that when you, and I'm sure that you've heard this a many times. But how do you respond to that?
Well, it's kind of it's a question of the best allocation of each individual's time.
Right.
If it was a production company, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can spend your time and you spend it, you're the guy that should be talking to the biggest clients and the biggest prospects. And
right.
The more time you talk to big clients and big prospects, the more the whole company will prosper.
Right.
So if you were the CEO of that company, it just wouldn't even, if it was a manufacturing company, it wouldn't even be a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It would be.
You have the assembly line, right? Yeah.
Right. You're going to spend your time with the 60 best clients, and we're going to count on you to bring in, you know, 10 really big clients this year, and we got to give you the time to do that. So
mm-hmm.
you're off. That's your job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we figure out what to do with the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if clients that are outside of that 60 clients require some of your time, the question is how much of it and how's the best way for you to spend that time with them?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
it's kind of an individual decision on those. You know, if a guy has got $10 million with you and he's not part of the 60 clients and you think you can get more business from him by spending more time with him, then you set up twice a year, you have lunch with him or dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So you customize it for the situation. If there's a retired person with $4 million, and all they need is somebody to help them with their required minimum distribution and call them 12 times a year, you don't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Rob?
Rob? Go ahead, Stephen.
Yep.
One of the, and this is a kind of an interesting point for me, because for all of us, but you just mentioned a real key phrase. If so-and-so needs thus and such once a year, then you don't need to talk to him. But one of the things that has really helped me is to have somebody, and usually it has been my CSA, but we'll not talk about the fact that neither team has a CSA at the moment, who says, pick up the phone, talk to John Doe. He's getting his RMD. He needs to hear your voice. Hi, John, it's Stephen. I'm really glad that Kathy has your RMD squared away. Is there anything else? No, thanks. And it goes a long way. And I think that that's where Trent, Kay, John, we all have to have confidence that somebody's going to pick up the phone and say, let them hear your voice. Are you okay with that, Rob?
Of course.
Okay.
More is better, right? 1242 is the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
More contacts is better than less, but you've got to manage your time allocation and leverage your people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
okay?
Just that spooky part, and Trent and I respond to it the same way. I suspect so does John. Is it, oh, John Doe is calling, and John Doe didn't exist until he called, but in that moment he's important, and if we can just get that momentary release, pay attention and then go away without making him feel, you know, badly, then I think we'll feel fulfilled. But I'm not sure that, okay, I can't speak for anybody but me. I like that, and it scares me to think that John Doe would say, I called and Stephen didn't know I was there.
Well, I called this morning and did the transactions that I needed to make, and I did them with the CSA. So I didn't need the FAs to do these transactions. This afternoon, I had a regular 1242. I informed the FA what I had done this morning, why I did it. He gave me all the information I needed. We went through some financial planning things, and life is good.
Mm-hmm.
I may be unique, but I don't want to waste time talking to financial advisors unless I'm looking for advice.
And I guess right. That may be where we are, is maybe there are some people who do actually want to quote-unquote waste time. I mean, that may be, in fact, be the case, and that may be a difficulty, you know, in that regard.
Oh, I have a couple. We all have a couple. Come on. They exist. And we let them get away with it.
Right, right.
And that's okay as long as you have the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I struggle with that. I have to admit I struggle with that.
So what you do is you give yourself permission to screw around a little. And that's okay, except when you can't, when you don't have the time. So the best way to avoid people walking into your office and wasting your time or calling in on the phone and wasting your time is to be on the phone. Okay? So
yeah, point taken. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let them know you're busy. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right.
And you are busy. The problem is you're not busy. Okay? So the answer is fill your time. Don't worry about them. You fill your time, and they will quickly get the idea that you're busy. You love them, and you talk to them when you can, but you're a busy guy because you really are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. If I can call you and you pick up the phone, we got a problem.
I say this all the time. Who calls their doctor and gets an appointment from the doctor? I mean,
no one. Who picks up the phone and talks to their doctor on the second ring or first ring?
Right, right. Now I can text my doctor and get a call, but
that's different.
That's a little different. I got a little bit of a concierge thing going there, but
right, and that's different. Okay, and if somebody, you know, you had guys paying, you know, has $100 million with you, and you give them your cell phone and he calls, you answer it and call him. But that's unique. That's a few guys.
Yeah. Perception's reality, right? If you have the time, like I had one today, you know, I could have easily set the appointment with her, but I passed her off to Sheila because I didn't want her to think that I was going to set appointments with her. Because then she'll call me for appointments all the time. We have been a little light. We have a new CSA in our steward office. We have a new CSA coming in on the 23rd of this month. So we've been working on fumes a little bit, but we'll get there. You know, it's just sort of
right.
This adjust. We're going through kind of a consolidation adjustment, reinventing who we are. It's just taking a little bit of time and trying to adjust to, you know, how many relationships can we handle and how many good relationships. I mean, it's all about good relationships, right? So I think you being proactive rather than reactive is the whole reason we're doing this. But it's hard not to be reactive. I just think you can control the time on those reactive people. You know, he answers his returns his calls between 4 and 5 unless it's very important. Is there something I can help you with? You know, oh, I want to talk about the market. Well, is there okay? Do you want to make a trade? I mean, what is it you want to talk about? I think if you just pick up the phone and talk about the market, there's your life.
Right.
You're going to be picking up the phone. You're going to be picking up the phone and talking about the market for the rest of your life. Where if you can kind of control them, and smarter people get it. They don't expect to talk to you when they first call in anyway.
They're really calling for something.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not calling to talk about the market. If they then they're not trained. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So if they're calling like I was calling. I'll call for a specific reason. And I also will keep a list of things that I need to talk to the FA about when we have our calls. And that's part of the training. That's a training issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got, you know, a bunch of statements and things and questions that I have to check on and things, you know, to do. And that goes in my pile of things to do when we have our monthly call.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So unless it's, you know, and I, you know, I don't make a lot of changes. When I do, I'm thinking strategically. I've got it thought out. I've got it all worked out. And then I just want some help in taking care of that. And, you know, so it's, you know, most clients don't have the time to waste. So the question is, you know, if somebody has the time to waste, what is the deal? You know, are they retired and they're bored, or what's going on? Am I the source of their entertainment for the day? You know, that's not my job. I'm too expensive. You know, I told clients that. Look, you know, we're fully invested. There's nothing to do. Why don't, you know, if you can, and I don't remember exactly how I said it, but basically there's no more transactions to do. So, you know, if you want to talk, you got to give me an introduction.
Hey, Rob.
That was pretty rough, but, you know, Mr. Derby, he liked to talk every day. And I said, Mr. Derby, you know, we've done everything that we can do. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk, you have to give me an introduction to somebody that can, you know,
Rob,
that can do business. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Trent said something the other day at the team meeting, and it was really meaningful but really scary, and I'll probably misquote it, but it was something to the effect of, you know, my best clients pay me no less than $25,000 a year. So, Mrs. Jones, I really want to have you as one of my best clients. And then there was some, but to me, it's kind of a breathtaking statement. Is that, I mean, I like it, and it terrifies me.
Well, I think what I was getting at was, like, you know, so the best attorneys that I know are like, look, I'm not going to take any, if you can't pay me $10,000 to come meet with me, I'm not going to take a meeting.
And well, I agree 100%. I didn't know if Rob was going to say, yeah, Trent's right 100%, don't modify it, go straight forward, or if, you know, if there's a different way to parse it.
But there are people on the team, the problem with this, Rob, and I'm going to let you answer. The problem with that is, you know, there are people on the team where 2,000 or 2,500 might be their, you know, probably not that low, but maybe 2,500 to 5,000, you know. But I think that you have to look at it as sort of a minimum, right? I mean, you have to. It's your time, right? So at some point you got to put a value to your time. Is where I was.
Well, then you remember when we started? We started with establishing an absolute minimum and a target minimum.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. We know that it's do we articulate it in a direct head-on
right.
way, like, cuz Trent makes a great point. If I'm a young broker, advisor, whatever, and I'm my clients are paying me $7,000 a year, and I have 60 of them, I'm a pretty good young broker because I'm doing $420,000 a year with 60 people. It's tough to say to somebody, listen, $25,000 is my base. I'm just looking for a way to understand: do we articulate it, or do we act on it, or both?
Well, you use your minimums to establish the fact that you have a limited time available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It isn't that you're some kind of haughty person that only does business with, you know, people with 5 million. It isn't for that purpose. It's for time management. At this time, I have 60 clients. My smallest client pays me $25,000.
That's perfect. Okay, that I can live with. That's awesome.
And you, that's awesome. And if they look startled or put off, you can be like, I have other people that, you know. Well, then okay, so that's a good question, Rob. So
you
I don't want to.
You want to
right? How do I
I've
go onto the
said,
team and other people have other minimums?
I've always said the team has one minimum.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you can keep clients, but mm-hmm. for new clients, the team should have one minimum.
Mm-hmm. All right. I only want 5 more clients. I just want to no, that's good. That's good input.
No, I think it's great because it's at this time I have 60 clients. My personal relationship minimum is $25,000 a year. Our team is built in such a way that we can give you the same quality of attention from another person on the team. Are we cool with that?
I think with one team minimum, it's very different.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm screwing it up then. Okay.
No, I think it's just that's just a. Rob's just saying if you're going to be bold, be really bold.
I know. Right,
Rob?
I thought the one team minimum only applied to new clients, incoming clients. The existing clients it doesn't necessarily apply to them.
That's right.
Do I have that wrong?
The existing clients, you don't have to get rid of everybody.
Right. Right.
In order to get to 25,000, right? So you keep what you have, but as each person brings in new clients, you're clearly raising the minimum.
So are we working then as a team to go out after those relationships, right? Then I'm out there shaking the trees, you know, running around with your friend Pat Welsh and all his friends, trying to bring as many of those guys in as I can.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay.
That's exactly right. Everybody in the team is working to bring in the same clients.
But here's a reference tool, if I may, is that if I'm shaking my bush and Trent's shaking his, and my surplus, you know, and a bunch of $400,000 to $500,000 clients are falling out, and I go, well, I just don't have time, that's okay because those accrue to someone else, right?
Not on your team.
You count them off.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a tough swallow. I apologize.
No, I agree with you, Stephen. It's. But I think, and it's hard. It's really hard. But what we have, right? We live on what we have till we can build the ideal book of business
right.
that we want. Right, Rob? I mean, that's it.
Yes. The income you generate from your existing clients gives you the marketing power to bring in the clients you want.
Right, right. And that's the way it should be. Okay, good.
Right.
Are we still
so
on this, guys? Are there more questions? Yeah.
Well, otherwise you have what everybody else has, which is an undefinable practice.
Right.
You got A clients and B clients and C clients and D clients and E clients and F clients and...
Oh yeah.
You don't have any.
What? Were you looking over my shoulder at the computer this morning? Yeah. Right.
So then we need to come up with a team minimum for new incoming clients, and I don't think we've ever talked about it in that way.
We have not, and that's a great point. And I'm going to guess that team minimum is going to be somewhere between $8,500 and $11,000.
How did we get past that?
I think it's going to be higher. I think it's going to be higher than that. I mean, I think we need to determine how many people are relationship managers, how many relationships they have, how many relationships everybody ultimately has. And then if you have $8,500 and you want 60 relationships, and you're looking at $510,000.
Yeah.
So
yep. No,
minimum,
I know I sound
the minimums need to be higher.
Yep.
And like Rob said, you know, what's stuck in my head, Rob, and it's probably why I'm still on the calls with you, is he's like, you know, I should be going out and saying, you said, you know, go out and say you have a $25 million minimum, and then you'll have too many of those. Then you'll have to raise it. So I'm going to ask you a question on that in a minute, but why is it a dollar amount that we're getting paid minimum, or is it, I think it's got to be, because, you know, I have a couple $10 million accounts that pay us like, you know, $20,000 a year. That's really not. I think it has to be, this is my minimum relationship, $25 million in assets or 70, you know, or 50 or $75,000, whatever the number is, you have to stick with it.
Right.
And then everybody's working on those bigger relationships. But it takes a while. This doesn't turn supernova and turn into like the best practice in, I mean, it probably is a 3-year process, right?
Yes.
It's like a.
It is.
It's not like a, hey, I did it in 1 year, and this is a process that takes a while. But the message out there in the street is, hey, those guys are only taking big accounts. It's not like, oh yeah, well they manage my cleaning lady's account, right?
Mm-hmm. The more you charge, you must be better.
Right. Right. That's the psychology of pricing, right? That's the fact.
That's the fact.
Only the best business schools in the world, that's what they say, right? That's why. Do you want to be Kmart or Nordstrom's? So.
It's just a,
okay.
You know, and then you give great service to a limited mm-hmm. number of clients and mm-hmm. focus your energy. It's focus, 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 right?
Right.
So then this is where we have to talk about our fee schedule again. You know, what are we going to charge clients? Because in the past, we haven't been the least costly, but we certainly haven't been even at the median or average in terms of the fees that we charge.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that, you know, if everybody else is charging 1%, should we be charging 1.1 because we're providing better service? I mean,
I think there's a premium, but I think that there's the answer is yes, but mm-hmm. we first have to be functioning 100% as a supernova team, establish out marketing together. So the answer is yes, but I think you're like in month. Well, maybe it's sooner than later.
Well,
I don't know the answer.
Let's say you had a prospect right now and they have $50
yeah.
million. Dollars, okay. Mm-hmm. What do we quote as our team fee to that new prospect?
Well, I know what the trust companies are going to be in the 50 basis point range. So you can't really go, I'm going to be 65 basis points, or they're not going to talk
right.
to you. So you're really going to be in that 45 to 50 basis point range. But why would I go less than what the trust companies are?
Because I think in the past we have gone less than that. So we want to stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if we've done that with a client that's existing right now, we're not going to go back and raise their fee immediately. But with a new prospect in that situation, we would probably charge them more than what we're charging a similar client that we already have. Is that right?
Yeah, but we're upgrading our book, right? This whole process is
right.
upgrading.
So that's what I'm just trying to get to the point where, so if we have a new if we had a new prospect that was, let's say, very similar to DiMucci, you know, we'd probably
mm-hmm.
charge that prospect more than we're charging DiMucci right now.
I think he's paying 50 basis points. So, still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's too far off from probably the average.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he might be a special case then.
Yeah.
I know, like, there are smaller clients in DiMucci that pay less just because they've just beaten us down, you know. They've made that a priority.
Well, that's a good question. So, Rob, pipe in there. Should we allow that? Like, at what point do you get beaten down and then you say no? I mean, or you got to also, I mean, that's the hard part of this. You got to say, you know, you might not be a good fit for us. And I think that's never been in our vocabulary. So,
yeah,
we got to get that in our vocabulary.
You set your minimums in terms of who you are, and you've got to have the confidence is a really interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
It grows over time. People are very attracted to confident people, and they want to do business with confident people. And if you show weakness or you show that you're not confident, they will run away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the confidence is telling people who you are and what you do and why you do it and the passion that you have for what you do. And people will be drawn to that.
Another part of that that's really compelling is that we are trying to get rid of some of the bad habits of the past. And one of the bad habits of the past used to be, hey, we can beat so-and-so on price. And I think you're helping us there, although I don't love it.
No, price is easy to compete on because it doesn't mm-hmm. take anything
right.
to sell.
Doesn't take skill.
You know,
right.
Doesn't take any skill. And they assume right. that you're just a commodity and that they can beat you down and you're just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you fight on price if you have no skill, right? I mean, that's it.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Price is only an issue in the absence of value.
Right.
And so what you want to do is you want to I'm looking here for our when we established our minimums, and I don't see it. How did we get away with not establishing minimums?
We did it. We did do it.
I just don't seem to have it right on the top of my notes here. So,
I think I was saying my minimum was, I think we had different minimums, but I don't think we had a team minimum.
Didn't.
I don't think we did not. We did not get to that point. Somehow we missed that, but that's okay. That's why we keep having these calls, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what we've done is we're in our sixth week of having every Friday morning meeting. Tomorrow morning we have a recap meeting, so we have the core competencies. So we're moving along a little bit. We might want to get into some custom, some more custom coaching with you, where we have to call every 2 weeks instead of once a month, because once a month might be a little too far out. Once a week might be pushing it
too much.
So
yep.
Yeah, so we got to reach out to Cindy Bowie. That's something that we're going to get there. We're still kind of drinking out of the fire hose right now, but I do think that's why we got to have once a month. Today I was like, what are we going to talk about? And this is probably one of the best calls we've had. So obviously it's important to have these calls. We'll have a minimum for you next time we get together. It's something we'll talk about on Friday.
Okay, so I want you to have two minimums.
Yeah.
I want you to have your target minimum, which is mm-hmm. represents the top 20% of your overall practice, mm-hmm. and your absolute minimum, which would be nothing less than your average or your mean. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that will give you concrete numbers to work from, and then you can negotiate with yourselves and with me as to what, if there is any variable on that, but the math should be very simple. You never mm-hmm. want to bring in a client that is less than your average.
Right.
And you certainly want to bring in 10 clients this year that look like the top 20% of your practice.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that should be
but
your
look at the
average.
Top, right.
Yeah. That
look
should
at
be
the
your
top
average
20.
Size.
Right. The top 20 is our right. average. That's our average size, and then the average of the rest. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What I found was when we just had one minimum, people
yeah.
cheated on it.
Right.
When you have target minimum and then an absolute minimum, they don't cheat on the absolute minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
You got that,
right.
Kay?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
And then the max is the absolute max that you can handle, number of clients, and then the target max is how many you'd really love to have if you could reinvent your practice over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going through what we'd love to have right away without actually going through having a target and working our way there. So.
Well, you've said 60, and, maybe it's 70 now,
mm-hmm.
and 60 is your goal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And different people can have different maxes.
Right.
If somebody is not
right.
prospecting and they never have prospected, they can
yeah.
have 100 clients because that's what they
right.
do.
Right.
They develop business from their existing clients and they get introductions and life is good. But they're primarily
right.
a service person versus the hunter.
Right.
Okay. So that.
So if I'm hunting, so let's say I'm hunting, and I understand, I think we got all that. Let's say I'm the hunter, right?
Yep.
Self-proclaimed right now. But let's say that I'm the hunter. I go out and start hunting in the right, in the right forest. Now, other people have access, for example, to very large prospects and people to hunt for as well. So it can't just be me. There's other very large clients and people with assets out there that we probably would want. How's that work? So, like, let's say Steven, easy example, because he's one town down, I'm one town up, one north or a couple towns north. He has someone not comfortable, maybe necessarily working with him, but pretty comfortable handing them off to me. Like, how do you see, like, how many people are hunters? Is it just me, just one hunter? I mean, there's other people, there's other value to the team of people and the web that they throw. Like, how do you get that web, not just why with Steven, but right.
Everybody's a hunter. It's a question of percentage of their time and their ability. Yeah. There's talent, there's skills, and then there's time. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if you are talented, I can't teach talent. I can teach skills,
right.
And I can teach process. I can't teach talent. If someone is talented and they will close 90% of the people that they're in front of, then I want another person that can identify people to bring that person to the talented person to close. But they can close, their closure rate is 70% or 60%. So they can close, they can do business, they can, but they just, when you get somebody with 50 million, I want my highest probability of closer in front of them.
Right.
Hey, Rob?
Yep.
One of the things that I think we really need is focusing at the pinnacle and saying, okay, if we say Trent is the one who's swimming in the deepest part of the ocean, and if Trent is becoming more and more comfortable with getting to the quote-unquote average client pays me 50 grand, I can handle 60 clients, that's $3 million in production. What do you typically see with a real high-end producer? How many relationships can he or she handle, and how much does that produce, not on average, but in terms of optimized? I mean, is it achievable to say, okay, Trent, you can do $4.2
million? You can do $10 million. I had one guy that had 20 clients, and he did $20
million. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's just math.
Right.
So, there's no limit to the amount of business you can do, and there's no maximum number of clients. The average wealth manager, advisor, private banker has 50 clients with a minimum of $10 million in assets, $100,000 commission, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the market that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Right. And guess what? There's thousands of them within.
Yeah.
There's thousands of those type of clients within 30 miles of every one of us.
So
thousands.
The key is to build a practice that is so outstanding that those people are drawn to it, and over time you have $2 billion under management, which is fun, and you can do that there.
Mm. Yeah.
So
fun stuff.
Okay. Next time, I want to go through some details in terms of presenting Supernova, how to do it, how to present it with the kind of detail and what works best when presenting it. It's a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun with it, and I'm getting, I'm learning from you guys, and it's getting better and better, and the closure rate keeps getting higher. So it's really working. Okay, so let's do that.
All right, Sheila, let's reach out to Cindy and see what it takes to kind of up our, I know we got to pay more, but to up our time with Cindy. Is Cindy who we reach out to, or Lori?
Cindy.
Okay, Cindy. Okay.
Yeah, and I just started another team doing the same thing, meeting every two weeks. So
yeah,
it's a good model.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Great.
All right.
Very good
great.
Meeting. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye. We'll catch up tomorrow in our Tuesday meeting, all right?
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Thanks.